Thank you, Lord. Praise God forevermore. We thank you, Father, for these wonderful times we're in. We thank you, Lord, for the swamp being drained. And we praise you for that, Father. Thank you so much for all the help that you've done during this too, Lord. The angels have been absolutely marvelous, wonderful in this work that's going on in this United States of America. And we praise you for it, Father, also in the world. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing with us too. We praise you, Father, for the anointing to draw us near and closer to you, Father God. We praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, that these wonderful times we're coming into, we're going to see a lot of good people coming out of the bad churches and coming to you, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for placing an anointing on us to be an evangelist all the time. And I praise you and I thank you for that, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us the power, the healing power, the delivering power over all the enemy. And we praise you, Father, that you've done that to allow us to be a part of this great revival coming up ahead. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do tonight, too, leading us and guiding us into the things that you'd have us to talk about and to discuss. And we praise you for your wisdom and your discernment, Lord, in each and every one of us as we study and look into your word, Lord. And I praise you and thank you for it. Lord, I thank you all this cold weather is going out of here. And we won't see any more in Jesus' name. I'm thanking you for this Hawaiian weather that's coming upon this refuge in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right, anybody else got a prayer request? I was telling Jillian and Missy a while ago that I found out there was a sheriff. I'm not sure where he was. I didn't get to that part, but I did hear him talk a little bit about a birth certificate that he's been analyzing and getting analyzed to find out if it's a fake or a fraud, I mean a real one or a fraudulent one. And that was President Barack Obama's birth certificate that he turned in as his birth certificate of being born in the USA is fraudulent. They came out and said it was fraudulent. So what that, you know what that means? I know what it means. It means everything that he's done is negated. And of course, well, I'm not going to say that. Anyway, thank you, Father, for straightening out everything. In Jesus' name. All right, anybody else got a prayer request? Lord, I thank you for putting some warm weather up there in Detroit to get that ice melted out. I think it was Detroit, wasn't it? Yeah. And melting that ice out from around all those cars and streets and stuff. And I praise you. Thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Helping those people. Yeah, Missy.
I like to pray for my mom and dad. They called earlier, and dad's been having pain just when he goes to urinate. And past couple days, and he wanted mom to take him to the doctor, I guess this evening, and that was like, no, and emergency. She said they're gonna let him sit there because he's not, in any current pain or anything like that. And so I prayed for him, encouraged them to, think positive, speak positive, that when dad goes to needs to go to the bathroom, that just thank you, Lord, that there's no pain and that he's healed and there's no infection and blah 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 blah. And it was kind of cool because because I asked my dad first, you want me to pray? And I'm not sure what kind of an answer I got. I think I got a yes. But anyway, I was impressed. Thank you, Lord, that mom was willing to really listen to me about speaking positive and calling the things that are not as though they were, and trying to explain to dad about speaking positive and not being negative, and whatever. And I thank you, Lord, for strengthening mom to stand strong and be resolved and help dad and to call the things that are not as though they were, and just praise and thank you, Lord. I just command all anxiety, fear and doubt and unbelief and double-mindedness to get from my mom and dad. I command every foul antichrist spirit away from them. I bind all the power of the enemy. The power of the enemy is broken off them. I command every foul spirit out of their house. I command all attacks on them, spirit, soul, body, mind, will, and emotion, to cease. And I just speak peace, rest, and joy in their hearts. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. And I thank you, Lord, that they will both get a good night's rest tonight. And they neither of them will have any pain or anything that will disturb them in their sleep. And when they happen to have to get up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom, that they will just be sure-footed, and they will get smooth transition there and back. And Lord, thank you, Lord. I just send the angels there, just be ministering them. And I'm just, Lord, you speak to their hearts, Lord, peace and rest and comfort, Lord. And I thank you that the enemy is bound, he's gagged, and their gag order on all the principalities and rulers of darkness, and a restraining order. The enemy has no authority, no power, no right over my parents. It is there restored, and my dad's a mighty man of God, and my mom's a mighty woman of God, and they have complete restoration in every area of their life. In Jesus' name, and I just praise you and I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Teresa.
Well, as I have let you know before, my German Shepherd Danny passed on. However, I'm having a hard time dealing with it, because I feel like there should have been things that I should have done to keep her healthy, including, the same kind of prayers that Missy prayed. I thought I was praying enough, but evidently I wasn't praying quite the right words, or praying enough. There was something that I think I could have done, should have done, to keep her from passing on. And so, but I also kept hearing, "No, you let her go." So evidently, the Heavenly Father and Jesus was bringing her home to himself, because she was going through a uterine infection, and she hung on for 9 months when she should have had a hysterectomy the same month that she, because it's a life-threatening condition. And so, and I kept trying to address it, but it just wasn't enough. So I'm praying that God put in me what needed to be there for her, and that God give me a rest on that.
Okay, go ahead, Julie.
I'll let you pray.
Teresa, how long did you have your dog?
What's that?
How long did you have your dog?
She was 9 when
She was
she
9.
passed.
The thought
And
that came to me. Can y'all hear me okay?
yes.
The thought that came to me is to pray for Nina to come back and during the resurrections to be
Okay.
with you for 7 more years anyway. As restored. Is that something you'd like?
Yes.
Okay.
And actually, I had started to pray along those lines.
Okay. Well, let's do that.
Okay.
Father, we ask in faith right now that Nina be allowed to come back and spend those 7 years of the tribulation with Teresa. If, Lord, you don't have her doing something that's going to keep her busy all the time to where she can't see after the dough. And if that's not the case, Lord, I ask that you bring her dog back to her to have company with her. And we praise you for that, Father. In Jesus' name now.
In Jesus'
We
name.
thank you, Lord, that we're going to be looking for Nina on Resurrection Day. In
Amen.
Jesus' name.
In
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Amen. That's a German Shepherd, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
That's a
just like losing a person.
Yeah, that's okay. He can do it either way. Want all my dogs to stay up in heaven. That's up there. I don't want to have to feed them again. I'm just saying, it's just me. I'm gonna be too busy. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? I'd like to pray for Jeanette, my wife. Lord, I lift up Jeanette to you, and I thank you, Father, for whatever the doctors do, whatever they say, they won't curse her, and they won't do something wrong. And I praise you, Father, for guiding them and leading them in the way that you want them to do it, because you know the faith that she has is in the doctors. And I praise you for doing that for Jeanette, to making it easy for her. She's been in a lot of pain, Lord, and I know there's certain pharmacias that they cannot give her because of her lungs. And I praise you and I thank you, Father, that they're going to do the right thing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. When she goes home tonight, she's not going to have any pain. She's going to be able to sleep. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Let's see. I'm gonna tell Debbie Finsky and anybody Anna to go ahead and turn your faucets on tonight. It's supposed to get way down tonight. Just let that water run so you'll have water in the morning to wash your face when you get up. If you wash your face when you get up.
Yeah, Brandy sent me a text and let me know just a little while ago.
Okay. Okay, good. Yeah, he sent one to me too. Of course, we already knew. We've been running ours for 2 days now. We don't like carrying our water from down at the bottom of the hill all the way up the hill. We don't like that. All right. Anybody else got a prayer?
I'm sorry. You're wanting to pray right now, but I was wondering if you could, that song I shared this morning, if you could play that tonight too. The song I shared on Zoom this morning.
I understand, but I've done a lot since then, so you're gonna have to send the link to me,
Yeah, I'll just text
or
it to
just send me just.
you. I text it to you this morning. Is stealing your text then?
Yeah, it probably is.
Just whenever you're ready to do it.
Yeah, okay, I will. God, we make our boast. That's a good one too. I can't even feature you singing this song.
That's what I told you this morning. I can't sing this one. You gotta play it.
It's a good old gospel song. All right, anybody else got a prayer request or something they'd like to comment on? Yeah, Patrick.
Missy, what's your dad's name and name? I'm sorry?
Glenn.
Glenn. And he's the one with the urinary tract problem?
Well, yeah, just when he goes is the only time he has any pain. So.
Okay. Thank you, Father, for your healing that you've given us in your word, Lord, that by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. And Lord, we look to minister that very word to Glenn in Jesus' name. We bind that urinary tract problem, whatever it is. We cast it out, command it to leave right now, and let that urinary tract be healed in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. That's all I want to pray.
Okay. Anyone else?
I have a prayer request.
All right, go ahead.
My niece's little boy that she's adopted, they've adopted your children in their old middle age. But anyway, this little guy has a viral, well, I think it, a flu, an influenza of some kind. And it's gotten really bad. And he's got something called viral myo. I wrote down, I'm trying to find it. It's called viral myocystitis. There's live enzymes are high in his like liver or kidneys. So I don't know what all that is, but it's pretty serious. He's in the ER and he's only about 4 or 5 years old. So I wanted to pray. I let them know we'd be praying tonight. Or let my sister know who she can tell her daughter, Jill, my niece. That we've prayed to. So I don't remember the little boy's name. I remember his name, but he's in a pretty serious condition though. So Lord, I don't understand all this, what this is about, Lord, but you do, Lord. And just thank you, Father. You're the healer, Lord. And we believe together, Father, you're going to touch him, Lord God, and do a mighty work of healing for him, Lord God. We put our faith and our trust in you, Father God. And I pray that you would use this to turn Jill back to you again, Father God, my niece, Lord God, that she would get her eyes on you, Father, and repent, Father, restrain from you, Father God, in Jesus' name. And just thank you, Lord, for the healing of this little boy and her son, Lord God. And I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Yeah, Pat.
So, Michael, do you agree that in the fact, I guess the truth or whatever that I read this statement that the disciples and Jesus, the apostles, the disciples and Jesus were not taught to pray or ask for healing, but to command healing.
Well, by their actions, yeah.
By their, what do you mean by that?
Well, if you remember, what did they do when Peter saw the guy at the lame guy? Remember what he said? He
In
said,
the name of
"My
Jesus, rise up and walk.
rise up and walk." That was a
So
command.
I've been trying to shift my prayer over to commands.
Okay,
And
let me
it's
say something, Pat. Let me say something here, right quick, before you get started in there. If you remember, Jesus told us what to do He said he's given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And when he did that, who's the enemy? The devil. The devil's the enemy. And so that's what we do. We take authority over the enemy. And you don't sit there and hold his hand and say, well, I'm just asking you, come on out, please. Just, would you come on out, devil? No. I command him. I said, yeah, in the name of Jesus, come out of there. Because why? Jesus is right here. Me and Jesus. Me and the Holy Spirit, actually. Me and the Holy Spirit are commanding that devil to come out. And that devil ain't gotten, he's got a, as a matter of fact, you can tell him to bow his knees before he comes out. I tell you to bow your knees before Jesus and come out of him right now in Jesus' name. That's the kind of way I do it. But go ahead. It may not be
well,
what you...
When you mentioned that, I thought of something that I had thought, or I'm going to say used to believe, and that is that by our actions of, say, of sin, failure, or whatever, that we give over authority to the devil to resist us or whatever. We give ground, we give over authority. And I got to kind of studying that a little bit. And there is there, and so I asked the Lord, what is it? You know, it's when Jesus said, all authority has been given me in heaven and earth, go therefore. He never said, so with this authority, I'm divvying out a certain amount of it. I'm going to give it out to you, and I'm going to give it out to you, and I'm going to give you some, and I'm give you some, like someone would take a pie of authority and start slicing pieces off and giving to people. But that's, I don't think that that is how Jesus, when he said, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil, I don't think that that was the concept, that he was giving a chunk of his authority to you type of thing. But that we have been given authority to function in his name or in his authority. And it's a little bit different. It's like salvation. We haven't been given like a piece of the pie of salvation, and we have our own little chunk and we got it in our pocket and we're going to do the best we can with it or whatever. That salvation that we have received is the life of Jesus within us.
Yes.
And that life of Jesus within us that is released is the salvation in operation in against the enemies of salvation, shall we say. So it's not a piece of that we have ourselves. It's him within us functioning, and that authority works the same way. Where was I going with that? And so we don't have the ability to give away, even by ignorance, give away that authority to the devil. He's a usurper. He's a thief. He's a murderer. He comes to steal, and he comes to steal by stealth and deception so what is it that we, when we sin, what is it that we give him if it's not authority? I believe we give him, we give him permission. We give him permission to influence, to function, to what, to operate his dominion and its influence in our life. But he doesn't do that by authority. Are you speaking?
Yeah, but there's only one way that he can get in, old Pat. That's through your sin. That's through your sin. And
Correct.
listen, here's the sin that most people have: doubt and unbelief.
Correct. I
Okay.
agreed. And but I think the important part is that at least for me, that I was seeing is that whether it was ignorantly or whether it was sin that I committed or whether it was failure, all of those things are irrelevant to the fact, related to the fact that the devil does not have authority. He might have permission of influence. He may have deceived me. He may have he may have deceived others, attacked, whatever it is. He doesn't have the authority. So we have been given the authority to function in the name of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus, and no matter what, the devil gets kicked out. The devil has no right. And I was thinking there's when you drive up to an intersection, say a stoplight, the law says that stoplight governs. You've come up to the stoplight, and that's and it's red, you have to stop. If it's green, you can go, etc. But if you come up to that stoplight and there's a policeman standing in that intersection directing traffic, that policeman is standing there in the authority, in the authority of the state or the government, and his presence there and his direction there supersedes that written physical law. If he's directing you to come through and go, then you follow him, and you can legally do that. However, there's also the case that a thief, a robber, the mafia or something comes up. They drive into that intersection and they set two or three bruisers out there with submachine guns. And you come up to that and they put their hand up, whether that light's green, and they tell you to stop. You're probably going to be stopping because they have power behind them. They don't have authority, but they have power. They have submachine guns, and they're going to blow you away if you try to do something. However, and that's what the devil is doing in the earth today and in Christianity today, and that's his tactic in our life to make us think that he has the authority Though he is really the mafia standing in that intersection, he's trying to, he wants us to believe that number one, it's an illusion. His authority is an illusion because he doesn't have authority. He has power that he can utilize. But Jesus gave us the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the submachine guns, the power of the devil. We have the ability through Christ in his name to come up to that intersection and say, no, you will not throw your guns down or whatever. Or if you take it in the, say, the earthly sense, we have the ability to get on the phone and call up the governor and say, hey, you got the mafia down here, send in the troops. So I don't know why I got off on that particular thing, but our being able to command healing is connected with that concept, that authority. So I don't know. I'm just like Andrew. I like to get up and kick things around and throw things out there for thought, and that was kind of the thing I was seeing today. So,
Amen.
anyway.
Well, good. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Missy.
Couple of days ago, I guess it was. I'm not sure. Maybe it was yesterday. Merle found out that his sister-in-law passed away, Dorothy. His brother passed away years ago. Dorothy was 91, and she had a violent heart attack or something or whatever. But anyway, she didn't hang around very long, and I consider that a good thing. I believe that she was probably ready to go be with the Lord. So that's my belief, my prayer that she's with the Lord. But the memorial service is viewing whatever it is on Saturday evening. And so I just ask you, Lord, for safe travels and that the neighbor will be able to let fudge out one time for us because we're going to go there and come back. Oh, Lord, help us to be wide awake, wide-eyed, bushy-tailed, and be able to drive three hours and three back in one day. And
Right.
Lord, not
Right.
crazy about that idea, but that's
Back.
how it
Maybe the
goes.
sales boy that is so sick.
Deb, you're
No one
Debbie.
happens.
Unmuted.
I'm so sorry.
That's right.
Excuse
We're gonna have to stick a sign on your
me.
forehead.
But anyway, so I just pray for the comfort of Dorothy's children, and Lord, that this be an opportunity for the truth of your gospel, true gospel, Lord, to go forth, Lord, and for people to stop and think, where would they be going if they were in her shoes? So anyway, so just pray that it be an opportunity for salvation to whoever it would be, Lord, your elected that would attend, Lord, or even anybody that doesn't attend, that it would just cause people to pause. And to seek you, Lord, and repent and believe. In Jesus' name.
Okay, thank you, Lord. I'm sorry, Benita, I keep forgetting that, but I've been used to putting it on there, so it's going to take me a little while to learn. I'm just going to have to start thinking about VIN, and that's vehicle identification number, so I'll just have to put that in there. Go ahead, Debbie. Debbie, I'd like to leave you like that, but you have to mute, you have to unmute yourself if you
I
want
know.
anybody to hear you. You really were getting on it too.
Oh, sorry again. I was trying to get my other sister to get let me know this boy's my niece's son's name, her dad's son's name. And when I was talking out loud, I accidentally click the mute when I'm clicking, my video off or on. That's what happened. So, but anyway, I didn't get hold of her. But when Pat was talking, made me think that I really want to command him to be healed in the name of Jesus. I was just, Lord, thank you for healing him. And but I want to, agreement with me to command him to be healed because he's really very sick. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, command Jill's son to be healed in Jesus' name, to rise up out of this bed, to sit up and show strength to these nurses and doctors in Jesus' name. Command that healing in the name of Jesus, Father. You've given us the authority, and authority is the right to use power, Lord. And so we have that power, Lord, and authority to command his healing. And I do that right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for all this, for all the agreement with me on this, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, for the report and the testimony. And you can be given all the glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. It's done because we believe with you. Thank you, Father. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Y'all want to hear a good gospel song? All right. I'm fixing to put it on you then. Let's
I agree.
see.
It is Psalm 44:8. It's got a title too, but it's out of Psalm 44:8.
Psalms 44, verse 8.
In God we make our boast. 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 In God we make our boast all day long. Our boast. In God we make our boast. That's right. In God we make our boast. Oh yes. In God we make our boast. All day long right now. I just want to praise your name. Somebody help me. Shall praise his name forever. Oh, yeah. We shall praise his name forever. In God we make our boast. That's right. In God we make our boast. In God we make our boast.
Praise his name.
I could see Debbie singing that song. Getting down, boy, getting down. What I'm talking about, down. Glory to God. Yeah, there you go. Amen. I like that song, though. I really do. There's not many words to it. That's why I like it. I don't have to memorize all them words. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request before I tell you something? I'm going to share something with you is what I'm going to do. I found this on the, I wasn't looking for it. It just popped up. I think it was Instagram or something like that, Telegram or one of those. And I titled it, it didn't have a title, so I titled it The Spiritual Fulfillment of Jesus' Death on the Cross. And listen to what he says, and we can criticize it or comment on it when I get through, if there is any criticism on it. All right, the spiritual fulfillment of Jesus' death on the cross. The reason Jesus died on the cross or tree was because in the very beginning, man stole from the tree. God puts back on the tree for you and me to undo everything that was done in the beginning. His hands were pierced because our hands stole from the tree. His feet were pierced because the first messianic prophecy involves the feet. And that's in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. His right side was pierced because Eve came from man's side. So he is making atonement for Eve, the one who led them into temptation. There was a crown of thorns on his head. Why? Because the curse of creation is that the ground produced thorns of thistles. He is literally taking the curse on his head to reverse it and to restore blessings. And I'm going to copy and paste it into the chat there so you can look at it. What did y'all think about that? Pretty neat, wasn't it? Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, the thorns and thistles are the third land in Matthew 13 too. So they didn't make it. So he's taking a crown for us that we deserve. But you know, the crown is supposed to be your fruit, isn't it? And it's supposed to be the Word of God. So. He's augmenting that. I better not use that word. I don't even know what augment means. I'm sorry.
I don't either.
Exchanging. He's exchanging that crown that he put on his head for a good crown for us, right? Yeah. So we get fruit because that crown is our. We cast down our crown before the Lord because it's all His fruit anyway. You know, and it goes into His crown because. It's like it's downloaded in there anyway, so we're not going to need it anymore because we already got our new body up in heaven. So,
that's right.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So that's just something I wanted to throw in.
Yeah.
I hope people didn't forget everything that we read there, Michael, because that's sometimes I get fixated on one thing or there was something else, but I can't remember it. So I'm just going to
look in the chat. Look in the chat. It's in the chat. I'll put it in the chat.
Okay.
Anybody else? Somebody just really was thinking something when they put that in there. I just saw it and thought it was pretty neat the way he did it. Right or wrong. All right. Has anybody got anything on their mind? Better not have nothing but Jesus on your mind. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
Well, you know how we got all these things that people put in our heads from in the past, okay? And it's so easy to put in a child's mind that he's got something that's wrong with him, and you know, but you know, they like to lead people the wrong way, like for millions and millions of years ago, okay? And they taught that to us when we were in kindergarten, grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, grade 4, 5 years of your life. You know, by the time you get up in grade 3 and 4, they tell you a man is 3.5 million years old. And they're inputting in something into you, a trick, for the future. And what that's doing is making division, right? Yep. And division, basically division is a spirit that's a fruit of the flesh. It's there. It's right next to faction, actually. And next to faction is wrath. So there's an exchange of wrath coming. It's just that some people who are implementing wrath in the future against some brothers and sisters of ours are going to get theirs. So there's the division there in all those words, wrath, faction, and division. And that's really what they're doing there. They don't know it. Sometimes even the kid comes back and does it the proper way, goes to the teacher and says, look what you're doing here. You go to my church, man. So don't do that, you know? And then she sees it, or he sees it, depending if it's a male teacher or a female teacher. But I was just reading Titus one day, and Titus about the false prophet that was in the church, because he was a false prophet, you know. He said about those Cretans, you know, people from Crete. Yeah, not the last name. Anyway, that they're idle bellies and evil beasts, you know, and he sharply stopped that guy, right? And, you know, it says in 1 John 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits to see whether they're of God. For many false prophets have gone out there. So I just want to bring this up because division is a weird thing. And it can make a lot of things wrong. And so the Lord told me in one of my Bibles to circle that word of the country, Cretans, and put in the margin what other types of people were you taught to put in place of those Cretans today, you know, which would cause division. And of course, there's division for other things. There's division because you might not have a proper president or prime minister. So I'm just verbalizing, I'm not accusing here, okay? And division comes with the thousands of denominations that we have. And then the division comes, even if you're in the War of 1812 and you're going to the same church as the other guys on the other side, you know, there's a division there. But the greatest of these divisions is when he tries to divide you from the word, scripture. And that's what he does a lot. Really, if you think about every temptation you have, if especially like, you know, I particularly get really angry when it comes to children because they don't know too much, you know. But if you tell them something that's right, oh, they'll believe it better than I will. You know, those five-year-olds, you know, oh, if I see Jesus, I'll give them a big kiss. And I think they get that kiss. You know, or I'll give them a big hug. And then if you ask them, yeah, but would you say something untrue to him? Oh, no. So they got both loves there. Okay. And so they don't want to be divided from God. They don't want to be divided from Jesus. Someone else does it for them. And this division, you know, with a simple child's mind, and I'm talking a real child here, is sometimes that's it's a big attack. You know, it's a demon that coincides with other ones, okay? And it, you know, when you look at doubt and unbelief, okay, it's a division. Same way he's trying to put that mental item and make you think it's your idea, he's doing that with division. He's doing that with unbelief and doubt. So there you go. And I'm just telling you that, that if it helps you in any way, that that could be a source of something wrong. That he plays with your mind, I'm telling you. And that's not good. You have to, it's not like I'm studying the bad parts. I want the fruits of God's spirit, okay? I don't want the other one, but he's trying to throw a wrench into the verse where he gets all shattered, you know. And he wants you to have a narrative that's an idol rather than a sanctuary. He wants you to have a portion of unbelief with him. But we don't want that. We want to be the believer. And that portion, all of those, the fellowship, the communion, the concord, the portion, and the agreement. Agreement is very close to love. Okay. And you make an agreement with a spouse when you want to marry them. And you should not break that agreement. You know, you hand her a ring. She looks at it and she's all excited. And then she gives it back to you and says, "Now put it on my hand. It's my engagement ring," you know. And she's all excited. And you're kind of nervous too yourself when that day happens. But you talk about, I don't want to get into that now. But anyways, I'm just showing you how this division is a spirit, and it picks another fan with them that has a cable of all these different spirits in them, and they're going to make a person worse from division, you know, and we're seeing a lot of that today, you know. You can have a person who's a government person speak something real wonderful, you know, and it's looked down upon, and that's a division. You know, that there was a guy just recently from America, the vice president, who spoke something really interesting in Munich, and right away there was, you can tell just by the applause, you know, that there was less people clapping. But take the eye off of that, and don't start blaming or pointing fingers. Don't put any cretin in there. Okay, you gotta really think strongly when you watch something like that too, you know, and that's all I'm saying about that. It's just, you know, someone might put American in there who's not an American, and someone might put a Russian in there or something else. I can tell you safely this for sure, because, you know, there was a time when there was the Warsaw Pact nations, and Warsaw is the capital of Poland. And I can tell you about that division, because they all thought I was a communist in here, you know, in this country, because, oh, no, you know, they're no good, those guys. But now they're good guys, because they're part of NATO. So you got to be careful how you speak and how the old man thinks. You got to put it. You got to put them down. You don't. You got. Oh no, you're not right, Mr. Old Man, and that's not the way I don't want to think. And I can safely say that this division spirit is a real. Yeah, we've you know, faction is right next to it. We've encountered that. So I'm just saying, be careful. Be diligent. Diligence in the Bible, you know. You know, and partake of that divine spirit, because you are a partaker of the divine spirit. And have your godliness and life. You know, partakers of the divine power. You know, really. Michael, fall asleep there? Or? You fell asleep, Michael?
Yeah, I kind of slipped off into Never Never Land there for a minute.
Yeah, well, we had a cup of tea, so we're okay. Anyways, just don't fall out of the third floor rafters. That's all I have.
Okay.
Okay. Just making a comment, not to make someone feel bad or anything. You know, I don't want anyone to feel bad about it. Just snip it. Nip it. Get rid of it. Get rid of that division. Praise God.
Yeah, Pat, go ahead. I'm alert.
So I was, it's funny that Andrew should talk about that, because this morning I was driving to work. I'm working up in North Jersey, close to New York City. It takes me like an hour and 40 minutes to drive it back up through the snow today. But I get a lot of time to think and listen and read. I mean, not read, but, you know, listen to a message. Anyway, I was, and I had an interesting time today as well, as far as exercising that commanding process, which I'm not going to go into right now because I feel like I'm still in a learning process. But I'm going to say very, very shortly that I was having problems with my teeth, with the tooth, and it was very painful this morning. And it kind of grew. You know, it's been slowly but surely getting worse, or what, however you want to say it. And today it was very this morning it was very painful. And when on my way to work, I won't say something snapped, but I just started. I started praying and commanding in a very forceful way, and I might say a very loud way as well, and. And I won't say I was out of control, but I will say that I stirred up something that within me that I'm going to say usually lies dormant in a kind of a passive state, or, you know, however you might want to say, but it got stirred up today. And the pain left. I have actually no pain at all. I have to admit, I was a bit surprised, but the pain left. And so because of the fact that I was healed by the stripes of Jesus. And for some reason this morning, I got very forceful at fighting the devil related to that. And so praise the Lord. I'm still learning. Probably should have learned it a long time ago, but I'm still learning. But on my way to work, I was thinking of this very thing that Andrew was talking about, and that and so I go back to that fable or whatever. I think I talked about it or mentioned it a time before, but it was on one of these calls. But it was an it's a fable about the six blind men that were taken up to an elephant, and each one of the blind men were put around the elephant and asked to describe an elephant. Did I talk about this before? Does this sound familiar? Yes, I thought so. Well, and I don't remember exactly what I was saying about it before, but I came to the conclusion that if those six blind men had the picture yourself not being blind, can't see, but you're holding on to what you consider a tree trunk, the leg of the elephant, and you ask the other guy next to you on the other side, and this elephant is like a tree trunk, and the guy that is on the other end, say holding on to the tail, he's saying, "Well, you're crazy, man. If that's a tree trunk, it's the smallest tree I've ever seen. This is like a whip." And the other guy on the, at the ear, he said, "There's no way. This is like a leaf, you know?" And those six people having that mental image in their mind as to what that elephant is, if they stay in that particular state of their awareness, they will have a glimpse of the elephant, a glimpse of of one perspective of the elephant, but they won't have the full perspective or a fuller perspective. And I believe I said that, if those people were actually able to shift one around, and actually the guy holding the trunk or the leg, if he could go around and then now feel the leaf, the ear, and his perspective would be adjusted. And vice versa, everyone else is, if they shifted six times and were actually able to feel that section of the elephant, when they got around the whole, rotated around the whole elephant, all six of them would have a different and fuller perspective of what the actual whole looked like in their imagination. Obviously, they were blind. Modern day Christianity, and I'm going to say the world, especially politics, wants you to hold on to that one little section or perspective and think that my perspective is true. Others are questionable. Others, or if you're into politics, others are wrong. The other guy's wrong, I'm right. And of course, the other guy thinks the other guy's wrong, I'm right. But being able to shift around there, around that elephant, it requires that you are able to sus you're able to not suspend or not suspend truth. In other words, the truth of your perspective, but you have to be able to suspend your conclusion as to what that truth concludes to, if I'm making myself clear. In other words, that leg that felt like a tree trunk, that was the truth. It wasn't a lie. It wasn't an ignorant. It wasn't the full truth. He wasn't aware that there was three more just like it, and there was a big body on it, and a tail, and a trunk, and ears. He wasn't aware of it. So his conclusion that an elephant looks like a tree was incorrect. That was an incorrect conclusion based upon that truth that he had. So if we can hold on to that truth and take our conclusion about it and put it up on the shelf of our mental library, put it up there, and physically, mentally, spiritually shift ourselves over to look at another perspective and I'm speaking in Christianity, the truth and the word of God. Look at that truth, that particular truth, through another person's eyes, through another person's imagination. And that's why it's so good to get to read, to read other people, that cloud of witnesses that came before us. They were the building blocks of where we're at right now in modern day Christianity. But they didn't know the truth. And I'm speaking of John Wesley and Martin Luther and all the people that were before us. They didn't know all of the truth. They had a perspective. So it is good that we can exercise ourselves to read, to learn to feel what they feel, what they felt, what they experienced, so that we can adjust our perspective and adjust our conclusion about the truth that we currently reside in. And I think the Lord is doing that, and in this revival that is coming, His Spirit is going to come through because of the conditions of need that are going to be in existence. Not that they're not now, but we're living on an easy street compared to what is coming. And because that need is going to be so tremendous, the amount of grace that He pours out and the power of His Spirit is going to tend to unify us and allow us to rest without being threatened by others' perspectives. And I know I'm speaking a little bit vague, in some of these things, but sometimes even when I listen to some of the things and read some of the things in The Real Good News and Sovereign God and everything, there are things in there that I haven't, there's truths in there that I'm not resting in. But you don't learn To rest, and that is probably because there's certain conclusions, certain aspects of truth that I'm resting in, and certain conclusions that I've drawn. And so I struggle in certain things that I read. But the important thing I think is that we continue to seek, we continue to want to try on and exercise those truths until they start to push out or expose the things that I'm not correctly believing now. May not be sin, it just may be ignorance, it may be deception or whatever. But those things have to be pushed out, and they can only be pushed out by willingly taking what I know, the conclusions that I have, set them up on the shelf and try something else out. Try to feel what David feels in this particular thing. Try to feel what Andrew feels in there, and Michael and Martin Luther and John Wesley, and try to experience these people that have come before us. God has raised up certain nuggets of truth that were established in our history, even recent history, that were established by faith. They weren't established because of a lie, or because the truths that have been coming out in the last 100 years related to the power of the Spirit and healing and authority, taking our authority, etc. A lot of these things that are really developing now for the body of Christ, those were things that were substantiated and brought back into the Christian landscape by faith. And if we want to take advantage of those promises, we need to operate in the same faith which generated that and established that, or so shall we say, re-established that in the world. And so I use the example of the fable of the elephant. There's a certain process that we have to be willing to even listen to things that we may not initially agree with. But if there is fruit that we can see in that individual's life, or in a testimony of that person's life, then I think we do well to consider it and to try on that armor, so to speak. When David came to Saul, and before he was facing Goliath, and Saul said, "Okay, well, here, let's put on the sword. You need a sword, and you need a shield, and you need this and that and whatever." And they loaded the guy down, and he probably, he probably couldn't even get over to the creek to grab those rocks. He's so weighed down. But he said, no, he put them off of him because he hadn't tried them. He hadn't tested those. He had to face that giant with that which he had tested. And so likewise, we need to face the giants in our life by testing the armor of God, the truths of his word, so that we can use them in warfare. It doesn't do me any good to wholeheartedly agree with Michael in his the things that he's jumping into and fighting and everything. I wholeheartedly agree with him, but it doesn't do me any good in the battle if I can't swing the sword as well. So I don't know. I'm kind of rambling. I think it's Andrew's fault that he pushed me into it. anyway, I'm through.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Teresa.
I'll try to hurry because you were trying to get to something. In sport, God gives us a promise. It's a promise to us that, let's see. I don't know where I want to start. Well, I guess it's hard. I want to start at the beginning. Chapter 4. I'll read fast. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And, the promise is there's one body, there's one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. The promise is he's going to get us there. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, but to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about, he distributes the gifts, the Holy Spirit. Wherefore, he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? And he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. God is going to get us there by his Holy Spirit for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. God's getting us to that perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, because every wind of doctrine is out there, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. And so it goes on. So my, it's just, my belief God's going to get us there as his church, as his body of Christ. He's going to get us to where he needs us to be.
Amen. That's what faith. Yeah, that's what he wants. We all believe that. We believe that we're going to be at that place where he wants us when the time comes. Praise God. Because he said, it's all by faith. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? Well, the last time that we were in the real good news, we were in, let's see, chapter 4, I believe. I would like to stay in this for a while, because these three chapters that we're going to, maybe four, but these three chapters in here is really good. In your faith, does everybody have your real good news handy? Okay, good. And I think I'm thinning. I was on. I'm trying to look. Yeah.
Where we ended on the last time we were in this book a week ago, I think. You were reading from a word version that you had, and we got kind of lost you because. Then you decided you're going to read from the book, and we're going to start over on chapter four.
On chapter four? Four or five?
I can't remember. Was it? Were we in four or five? Is that weird?
Yeah. I think it had started five, and we were, I think, now somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah.
Andrew, what do you remember?
I thought we were in chapter five.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we were going to start over in the chapter because we lost you where
right.
you were. Because you
right. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll start at the beginning of chapter five. The real good news is the cure for what ails you. Now, like I said before when we started out, if you've got a comment or a question, just interrupt me and We'll do it that way. Yeah.
Are you reading from the book or from your word version?
Oh, that's a good question. Let me see.
Because my chapter five says healing by scripture at the very top.
All right, just a minute. Oh man. Well,
is that page 59, Julie?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just get my book. We'll read from my book. I thought I had a PDF of it, but I don't. Doesn't look like. Okay, chapter 5.
Page 59.
I'll do that. He says, we've been studying the real good news, and it is the real good news. It's the cure for what ails you, and it's the answer to any problem you could possibly have. Romans 1 and verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel is the power of God to everyone who believes, and that's the key. To everyone that believeth. We've been looking at faith and faith in the promises. So now I'd like to share with you some common contradictions a person who thinks they are of the Lord might have. The first one I want is us to look at is, well, sometimes God heals and sometimes he doesn't. What's wrong with that statement? Well, I'm going to show you what's wrong with it. To begin with, even from the letter, it's just not true. It's not scriptural at all. Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about in all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of diseases and all manner of sicknesses among the people. And the report of him went forth into all Syria, and they brought unto him all that were sick, holding with the diverse diseases and torments, possessed with demons. Excuse me. An epileptic and palsy, then he healed them. They brought to him all who were sick and had all these curses upon their lives. And he healed them. Well, you know, nothing's changed since then. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yea, and forever. They brought him all these people. And as you can imagine, some of them had serious problems. But I can tell you that because they had a covenant with God, God was having favor upon them. Matthew 13 speaks about the hardness, the blindness, the deafness of these people, and how Jesus spoke in parables to them because they could not see and could not hear according to the scriptures. I'm going to get somebody else to read also. Who wants to read? Okay, Pat.
Where did you leave off? What?
Okay.
These were some hard-hearted people. Is that where you're
yes,
at?
Yes, yes, yes. That's where we are. You got it.
These were some hard-hearted people, and yet the Father and the Lord Jesus, because of his covenant, wanted to prove his love for them. So he healed everyone who came to him. And that precedent is found all through the scriptures, Matthew 8:16. And when even was come, they brought unto him many possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all that were sick. Where do we get this theology that Jesus heals some and he doesn't heal others? We can see here that it's at least his will to heal all of his covenant people because they have the benefits of the covenant, the benefits of the good news of the kingdom, Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our diseases. I know that there's a high percentage of Christianity here who believes that what Isaiah spoke about was only spiritual healing. Even when they look at 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes ye were healed, they insist that's only talking about spiritual healing. But here we can see in the same text that from Isaiah being quoted and it plainly refers to physical healing, Matthew 8:16. And when even was come, they brought unto him many possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all that were sick. 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our diseases. That sounds pretty physical, so why would anyone say such a thing? It's because their leaders taught them to do that as an excuse for the fact that they don't have the power that Jesus offered us. 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of disease and all manner of sickness. There it is again. Only this time, it's not just all people, but every kind of disease and every kind of problem. 12:15. And Jesus, perceiving it, withdrew from thence, and many followed him, and he healed them all. Is Jesus a respecter of persons? We know that in the New Testament, he's not a respecter of race or nationality or any such thing. In the Old Testament, God's people were literal Jews, but in the New Testament, anyone who is born again has the benefits of the kingdom. So, no, Jesus is not a respecter of persons. Excuse me. But he is a respecter of faith. And the Bible says he healed all from among his people. And yet today, people have that doctrine of, well, sometimes God heals and sometimes he doesn't. It's not him, folks, it's us. He healed everyone who came to him in all of these verses. 1435. And when the men of that place knew him, they sent into all that region round about and brought unto him all that were sick. Verse 36. And they besought him that they might only touch the border of his garment. And as many as touched were made whole. Wow. And you know, it didn't stop there. It continues to this day among people who believe the word of God and have decided they're not going to change the word of God for their own ideas or for their own theology or to please men. As a matter of fact, we know that healing continued through the disciples in Acts 5:12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. But the rest durst no man join himself to them, howbeit the people magnified them. Verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that as Peter came by, at the least his shadow might overshadow some of them. Jesus said in John 14:12, the greater works than these shall he do. We don't see an example of Jesus' shadow healing people, but we do know who Pete, who Peter, but we do know who Peter was here. He was Jesus manifested in the flesh because the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ, lived in this same Peter, just as he lived in those today who believe his word. Jesus said in 663, the words that I have spoken unto you are spirit and are life. Those words go into you and recreate himself in you. Acts 5:16. And there also came together the multitudes from the city round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. The doctrine that sometimes the Lord heals and sometimes he doesn't just isn't scriptural. We're commanded not to add or take away from the words of the scripture, Revelation 22:18. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city, which are written in this book. The Lord is not a respecter of persons, Romans 2:11, and what he'll do for others, he'll do for you. And all he wants from you is your faith and your trust in him. If I didn't believe that God healed every time, how could I ever trust him? I've put my trust in the Lord as my healer and my savior in all these things for many years. I've raised five children, and they also put their trust in the Lord, and the Lord consistently healed my children. Whenever they were sick at home, I just prayed for them. I knew I had authority over my children when they were young. I could just exercise faith for them, and God would heal them. I love my children so much that if I didn't feel I could trust God, I would not have stepped out by faith in something I wasn't sure of. We had some pretty good trials of our faith, but the Lord endured us through them because he saw that we desired to be pleasing to him and to walk by faith. Hebrews 10:38. But my righteous ones shall live by faith. And so the Lord gave us continued grace. One time, my two oldest sons and a cousin were riding their motocross bikes in some woods. They stopped for a few minutes to speak with a man by the campfire. Then my oldest boy, Corbin, and his cousin got on their bikes and took off down the road, while the next oldest boy, Nathan, stayed and talked a few more minutes. And then Nathan decided he would catch up with the others, so he jumped on his motocrosser and took off. Well, when he reached the point down the road where it made a sharp left turn, it was too late for him to make that turn because he was going too fast. He wound up going off the road and into the ravine. After he bounced off some trees, he was knocked out cold. After a while, the first two boys started riding up and down looking for Nathan and couldn't find him. Finally, a lady who was on the other side of the ravine riding a four-wheeler on the sand looked across the water and saw Nathan over there out cold lying on the ground. She noticed Corbin and his cousin looking around the hill, so she called to them and asked, "Hey, are you looking for him?" Sure enough, they saw Nathan, that he was out cold and his bike was all smashed to pieces down there. Well, Corbin got his pickup truck and they pulled Nathan up out of there, still unconscious, laid him in the back of the truck and headed for the local hospital. At that point, they called me. Excuse me. At that point, they called me to tell me what had happened. I asked, "Where's Nathan?" Corbin said, "He's here. They don't have an MRI machine, and they want to scan his brain because they said his brain was swelling." I said, "Okay. Can I talk to someone over there?" And he said, "Call this number." So I called and asked, "Where's my son?" And they told me, "Well, we don't have an MRI machine, so they sent him down to Pensacola, which is where I lived at the time." Anyway, I went over to the emergency room at the hospital and found my son behind the curtain there. He wasn't unconscious, but he was talking a bit irrationally. He would say a sentence, then a few minutes later, he would say the same thing again, like he didn't remember that he'd said what he had said, and then a few minutes later he would do it again. I looked at his arm, and it was obvious that his arm was broken because the bone was poking up underneath the flesh. I felt around a bit, and it was kind of painful for him. I asked Nathan, "Son, do you believe that Jesus healed you?" He said, "Oh yeah, I believe he healed me." I asked, "Do you want to get out of here?" And he said, "Yeah, Dad, I want to get out of here." But he was still kind of mumbling and a little incoherent. I said, "Well, let's pray then." And we did what Jesus told us to do. In the scriptures, they didn't pray for healing for one another. They commanded it to be done in the name of Jesus. The reason they commanded it was the same reason we've been looking in our study, and that is because it's already been done. We are just those who administer the benefits of the kingdom. The Lord Jesus already paid for it. We didn't question him. We don't question him. We just administer the gift to one another. We do what the apostles did. We just command it to be done in the name of Jesus. So I just commanded my son to be healed in Jesus' name. I didn't know what was going wrong with the head, but I could tell by the way he was talking that there was something wrong with his head. Then I asked him if he wanted to get out of there, and he told me, yeah. My son was old enough to make his own decisions, and I don't believe in legalism. I don't believe in getting people under the law, and I don't believe in peer pressure. Excuse me. And I don't believe that we ought to do things just because someone else has enough faith. People should do what they have faith to do. The Bible says that if you have faith, have it to yourselves, Matthew 9:29. According to your faith, be it done unto you. Don't put your faith on someone else. You can give faith to people by preaching the word to them, Romans 10:17. So believe. Belief cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But to impress your faith on someone else or use peer pressure to cause someone to do something that they don't have faith for is just legalism. It's dangerous and it hurts people. The people who believe act differently than the people who don't believe. The people who believe act in agreement with their faith, and as we've already studied, Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So my son was in agreement with me, and I said, okay, let's get out of here. I called a nurse and told her, ma'am, we want to go home. She said, oh, you can't do that. His brain is swelling, and that's why he's talking like this. His arm is broken. I said, ma'am, we know the Lord Jesus, and he heals, and he has always healed us. And this is not a problem, believe me. She told us, wait here, don't do anything. And she went and talked to the doctor. Then the doctor came over to us and basically brought us through the same spiel of, you know, you can't do that. But I said, we're ready to leave. So the doctor told us, you'll have to sign some papers to deliver us from any responsibility here. I said, bring your papers and we'll sign them. Then before we left, the doctor warned me, be sure you don't feed him anything. I didn't know what that was about, but I do know one thing, that when you claim God's deliverance, you don't need to trust in what men say. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be anxious. You just continue to walk in faith, believing that you have received and acting as though you have received. Excuse me. Nathan got up and he leaned on my shoulder and we hobbled out to the car and got in. We hadn't made it very far before my son said, Dad, I'm starving. I have to have something to eat. So we stopped and I bought him a hamburger and fries on the way home, and he gobbled them up. When we got home, he had trouble taking off his clothes because of his arm, and he was still occasionally repeating phrases over and over, like, what's happened to my bike? Did anybody get my bike? Is it okay? He was more worried about his bike than he was his body. We would give him the answer and answer him again the same the next time. That night, he managed to take a shower, although it wasn't easy. Then he got into bed. The next day, Nathan woke up and was very proud of himself because he was able to get his shirt on and do everything. I noticed, too, that the bone that had been sticking up about an inch high above his flesh was now very low, and that we hadn't done anything to set it. About this time, the doorbell rang. I went to answer the door, and here was a lady standing there with some books in her hand, and she looked at me and said, "I am so and so from the HRS." I smiled at her and said, "That's fine." She said, "You don't look surprised to see me." I replied, "No, I'm not surprised to see you. Come in." And she came in and sat down on the couch, and then she began to ask a lot of questions. "Do you not believe in doctors?" I said, "Oh, no, ma'am. I believe in doctors. I don't have any problem with doctors, but I also believe that Jesus Christ is a healer, and he's shown us this over the years. He's been consistent to heal my family. My children and I have been healed all of my children have been healed all of their life by the Lord, by faith, by his word, by the word of God." She was skeptical of that and asked, "Do you mind if I examine Nathan?" And I said, "Not at all." When I called Nathan, he came into the room just grinning, and he wasn't repeating himself anymore. The bone had gone down quite a bit too. She looked at him and questioned him some, and then said, "He really doesn't look that bad, but since they called us, this is going to be on your record." For she told us a number of years that I don't remember, maybe 3 or 5. Well, I said, "That's fine, no problem." And by that time, she left and she said, "I really don't see anything to worry about. In only a few more days, if you can tell me if the boy, in only a few more days, you couldn't, oh, I don't, in only a few more days, you couldn't tell if the boy had ever broken the arm and ever banged his head. The Lord just healed him."
Okay, hang on just a second. Has anybody got any comments or any questions about what David's talking about?
I love that testimony.
Yeah, it's a good one. I like it that they couldn't find him, and there was a lady always. Are you looking for him?
Well, I liked it too, where he said, "Oh, go ahead, Missy."
No, I was gonna say too, I love to hear David's testimonies, his stories, true stories.
Yeah,
Praise
he's
Lord.
got some. I'll go ahead and read some, Pat, if you don't mind.
Michael,
Yes.
can I say something? I really like the part where, like it all, of course, when he was hungry and they said, don't feed him anything, you know, and
Yeah.
it's like we sometimes we believe in healing, but sometimes we have those little things go in our head and, well, we just can't do this though because of this, and you know, but God, but he's God's healed him. And I was just like, when he was talking about that, I just said, wow, God, thank you. I mean, you know, I want to be that way where I don't have to consider little, these little things. If you're healed, you're healed. So that was just
That's
so cool.
right.
It spoke real loud to me that
Yeah, well,
I want to be healed. Go ahead.
you remember the testimony you had when David broke his arm and he went out there and he passed by that stump and he said, "Well, if I'm healed, I can move that stump." And he grabbed that stump, he was
Fire.
healed. Yeah, then he went to work the next day and they didn't believe
Yeah, be
him.
careful. Yes, because amen.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Well, we can do that too. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, Pat.
So I guess that it's kind of funny, but the thing that jumps out to me right now is the commanding thing. And for I don't know why, how many times I've read that and listened to it or whatever. It just David was demonstrating not only believing by faith believing, but also by faith operating in the authority that God has given us to believe. To get him, Michael?
I got him.
Yeah.
Snatched him right out the air.
Serpents and scorpions, huh?
Yeah. Amen.
So
Amen.
he was he function he operated in that authority as well and ministered that healing to his kids as well. And it brought back a thing that I remember when I first became a Christian, and I had the Lord sent me into a specific Baptist church, basically, is where he sent me. And I remember when my daughter was very, very young, an incident that I had where, you know, I read it, you know, as lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, etc. And I remember getting my wife, my daughter had a fever, and she was very small, maybe a year old or something like that. And so I took her out on the couch and I laid my hands on her and prayed for her to be healed. And the fever didn't leave her, at least initially. And immediately I thought, well, that didn't work. What did I do wrong? You know, and went down a whole path. What took a whole path, you know, of, you know, why didn't that work and this and that and whatever, because I hadn't been taught the things of faith, that I hadn't been taught how faith functions and works. So I just bring that up as, you know, that's, there is a major amount of Christianity today that functions in that way. And so I think it's just extremely important, the things that the Lord is teaching us now are going to be very, very beneficial.
Amen. Anyway. It is, Pat, because 90% of the denominations, if not more, don't even believe that God heals. And here we are, we're practicing and seeing God heal almost daily.
But, you know, they don't believe because they haven't been taught how to believe. Let's just say the organization that they are in, or the particular denomination that they're in, hasn't taught people how to believe. And so, you know, and they're not ever going to teach people how to believe. Even a revival is going to shake their house to its foundations. And just like the Pharisees of old that nailed Jesus to the cross, after witnessing so many times of him healing and raising the dead and everything, and they rejected him even in that process, it's not going to be any different for what's coming down the pike. So anyway.
Yeah, I remember what Paris Reed had said about him. He said, it's one empty head teaching another empty head. And there's no power there. There's just no power. And you can talk to people. The Lord sent me to a Baptist church to teach faith. And believe it or not, and the pastor allowed me to do that on Wednesday nights. And I did, but then he found out through one of the people that we were, they all wanted to know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And boy, you don't do that in the Baptist church. And I didn't do it in the Baptist church. We went out and went to a person's house, and we all got in there, and I taught them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we had some results, but one of them was a cousin or something of that. The preacher went back and told a bunch of lies, and that shut that down, you know. Shut it down. Shut me down. He shut me down.
You got the boot, the right hand non-fellowship, huh?
Yeah, I got the left hand of fellowship, what happened. But All he did was move me. It wasn't that he shut me down. He just moved me out of his place. And people were getting healed. There was one lady that had terminal cancer. And I told the pastor and I told the youth pastor, I said, y'all come on, go with me. We'll go pray for her. Went over there and prayed for her. God healed her right there, boy. And the student pastor, he got mad and left the room. And the other pastor just sat over there with a, you know, kind of a grin on his face. But it's real foreign to them to see God answer prayers. And when he does, it's like revival time, you know? Or it's jealousy. And that's a lot of times, that plays a big part in it. But anyway, praise God, you're right. This coming tribulation is going to run a bunch of them out of those types of churches and get them to read the Word of God once again. Yeah, Julie.
I guess we're probably just all the same thoughts, like the Pharisees with Jesus. You know, they were jealous of what he was doing, and you know how he was teaching and breaking their laws and that stuff. They didn't like it. You know, I guess that's an example of what happened to Jesus, and we're gonna see that happen again.
Yeah. Well, okay. Looked like we're out of time.
Mark the spot. Lord, I got it marked.
Yeah, please mark it. I went ahead and downloaded the PDF, so I'll have it. Lord, we just thank you for the real good news. We thank you for the experiences that you gave David and all of us and after we've read these things. And we praise you, Father, for getting us full of faith and helping us to lose our flesh and the world around us. That'll give us the power that when we go out there, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when we lay our hands on somebody, they're getting healed or delivered. And we praise you and we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, be with us. Be with us, and we thank you for it. Lead us, guide us into the things that you'd have us to do out there in the world. When we leave the house, Lord, let us always be vigilant to look and see what you have for us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, somebody's unmuted there. Who was it? Teresa. Okay, y'all be blessed, you hear? I don't want to hit that button.